believe that God had a reason for this day. And I believe that this day is going to change your life. Hallelujah. And I believe that if you are in this church today, your life will not be the same. Because God has sent his anointed servant upon whom he has put his spirit. Amen. And he has made him our father in this land. And through him, the churches in this land have grown exponentially. This year, we've started 30 churches. Amen. Only this year. Yeah, it's a good place to put your hands together. Yeah. So you can see the fruits of his ministry. Amen. I have known him since we were in Manhattan about how many years ago? 10 years ago? 12 years? No, 10. I said that's not 12. Oh, before I said I was born. Yeah. 12 years. Wow. I've been in America a long time. I remember. Okay, I've been in Oklahoma 10 years. So more than 12 years. Yeah, about 12, 13 years. Yeah. And his ministry has always blessed us, has always blessed me, has always blessed my wife, has blessed our children. Amen. And he has been a blessing to us, and now he's even being a blessing unto our children. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, and his ministry is going from strength to strength. So why don't you rise to your feet? Why don't we welcome our own father in the house, our own bishop, Apostle Joel Obuobisa.
Thank God for another morning. Amen. Amen. And I'm blessed to be here on a Sunday morning. Okay. So let's share a word of prayer and then we can sit down. Father, we are so grateful to you this morning. The Bible says your mercies are new every morning. Great indeed is your faithfulness. We are so grateful to you this day, and we thank you so much, O God, for waking us up, giving us strength and life. And we pray, O God, that you will order our steps in your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless us, give us insight into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. You may be seated, please. Amen. Now, one of the conditions I gave for being here this morning is that your dancers were going to dance one more time for me, just to the Lord, but so that I can also enjoy it by the grace of God. Amen. So please find the dancers and get them over here to dance. And tell them if they don't dance, I won't preach. Hallelujah. All right. Do you all have this book, How to Pray? So can you take your copies? Just take out your copies because we're going to share from the book. Amen. It's a great book. It's a great blessing. And I've been blessed very much every time I have shared from the book and every time I have gone through any part of it, you know. So I want to encourage you to read it. Read it. Even after you've studied it in church, I want to encourage you to read it thoroughly so that you can be blessed. Amen. Amen. All right. Are they ready? Yes. Okay. So I'll take a break and then they dance. And depending on how good the dance is. Okay. So you be the judge. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
I owe preaching now, seriously. Well, thank you for that beautiful dance. Amen. The Bible says we must praise Him in the dance. Amen. So it is good that dancing returns to the church. God loves people to dance. Do you understand? God loves it when you express the way you feel about Him in body movements. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like you are so full of whatever it is that your body has to act it out. Do you understand? That's what a dance is. A dance means that you are so filled with the music that you want to act it out. Hallelujah. So it's a great blessing if you can dance. And if you don't know how to dance also. I don't know if there's anybody who doesn't know how to dance. Because dancing is just moving your body, isn't it? If you can get it to coincide with the beat, great. But if you can't also, it's also acceptable. Amen? All right. So I'm going to share with you. Take your books. We're going to be sharing from chapter 1. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this book is nothing but our pastor's notes. Do you understand? Our pastor, who is Bishop Dagg, has written a book that is such a great and powerful book. You know, I remember that a few years ago, are you listening to me? A few years ago, a certain pastor called Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Have you heard about that book? Oh, and what a powerful book that book was, you know. And I remember that many churches used that book, you know. Some churches went on what they called a 40-day challenge, where they read a portion of the book every day, you know. And it brought such transformation and was such a blessing to many Christians. The reason is that God really uses men to bless His people. Do you understand? Pastors are like spoons that God uses to feed His people. You know, can you finish moving and just settle so I can continue? Okay. Does everyone have a book? Who doesn't? Nathan doesn't. Can someone, you know, bring him one? I don't know if it's for sale or free, but just bring one to him. I want everyone to have one. Everyone must have one. Lift up your hand if you don't have one. Oh, so many of you do not have. Okay. Or you left it at home. You left it. Okay. So you can borrow one and return it after. Or just buy it. How much is it? $6. How much? $5. Okay. So please, $5. Who can afford $5? Right. Somebody should bless those who don't have. Somebody should offer to pay. Who's going to offer to pay for them? Who can buy at least one for one person? Okay. Raise up your hand if you can buy one for one person. Okay. So raise up your hand, please. Let's count. Where's Tony? Bring Tony. Okay, then John-Jacques, come and count the people for me quickly, please. Please raise up your hand if you want to buy one book only for one person, okay? Just one book. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let's have 10 people then. Who's the 10th person? We've got 9 people. Marie Pascal. I counted her already. I counted you, and I still have 9. 10. Thank you, Anita. Okay, so we have 10 people who are buying books for another person. This is not for yourself, so it means you pay for yours and the other person's. Okay, so please, you just give the money to Jean-Jacques so that he can. Because you see, the books are printed. We get them from somewhere. They need to be paid for. Okay, so please try and keep to your word. Amen. Right. So I was saying to you that what it is it is a blessing. Hallelujah. And all right, let's just finish. Make sure everyone has a book. Everyone. I want everybody to have one. Okay. Anybody else? There are two people who need books here. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, but your book is so small. Hey. Let me see. Hey. I mean, it's see, when you read your books from here, you see, listen, when you read your books from here, you'll be reading, then Johnny will send a text message. You see. You see. You see. Then you see that, as we are in the church, you see, we all think we are reading books, but people are reading Johnny's text messages. So please, just for today, bring her a book. Bring her also a book. Bring a book. Where's the bookman? Please, do you have two more? Frank, just bring two more and give one to her and one to her. Okay. Yeah, because we don't want to compete with Johnny. No. See, we are reading the book, then Johnny was saying, "Hi, love." Hey! No, it's her. Okay. Okay. Powerful. All right. So you put your phones away, and then let's take the book. All right? Right. So I was sharing with you that God uses men. Amen? And all that a book is the pastor has written what he would have said to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's all. And the Bible is actually a book, isn't it? Yeah. The Word of God is in the form of a book. It's a book written by men. The Bible says holy men of God were inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, to write the things that have become the scriptures to us. Do you understand? And you realize that when we read the scriptures, they affect us because there is a spirit behind it. Do you understand? That is how come a book can also affect you. Say amen.
Amen.
So there are some people who ignorantly talk and accuse us. They say that now we don't read the Bible anymore. We only read a book in the church. Do you see what I'm saying? But they are obviously ignorant. Do you understand? Yeah. Because what we are reading is a sermon that has been written down by our pastor. Say amen.
Amen.
So that's what you're doing. So can you explain it to someone? That it's not that we don't read the Bible, but that we are actually reading a sermon that has been written to us. Hallelujah. And the Bible was written. Well, some of the chapters of the Bible were actually Paul's letters. Can you imagine that when you write a letter to Johnny, then it has become somebody's scriptures? Do you see what I'm saying? Can you imagine that somebody is so anointed and so spiritual that when he writes a letter, that letter becomes the scriptures? That is Apostle Paul. So when you read, you see 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It was just a letter. Just, he was in prison and he was just writing a letter, you know. And the letter was so inspired by God that that letter becomes enough for you to live and base your Christian life on. And you have become a strong Christian based on reading somebody's letter. I pray that when you also write letters, people will be blessed. That your letters will not be so full of carnal things and quarrels that nobody is blessed. When you send text messages, people must be blessed. Because these days, people don't write letters. But you should be able to send emails that bless people. You should be able to send little text messages that change lives. Instead of sending naked pictures. Instead of sending messages of people's naked buttocks. Send messages that will bless people and change their lives. Say amen. Amen. All right. So I'm going to share with you from chapter 1. Okay, your pastor has been sharing with you from some of the other chapters. And so I'm going back to chapter 1. Amen. And chapter 1 begins, it says, if you are too busy to pray, then you are too busy. Oh, Johnny, do you know something? Do me a favor. If you would sit a little further away from the microphone, do you see? Because what happens is that when Johnny, what is his name? Kevin. When Kevin makes any sound, if I can hear it, it means it goes in a recording. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and so because of the recording, we like to keep the baby's sound out of the thing. So when he gets a little restless, you can even step out a little bit, then you come back and so on. It's all a little price to pay to be a mother. Yeah, that's why you should never fight with your mother. Never insult your mother. Never argue with somebody who gave birth to you. Because look at it, we are all here, everybody. She is going outside or is going to the back because of the baby. And one day this baby will grow up and start to argue with her. And start to point fingers at her. And say, you didn't do this. And, did this, and it's my business. It's my business. You see? If you do that, a curse will come upon you from heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? As for mothers, they are golden people. Yeah, even when you think they are not right, you just act like they are right. You just cool. You must draw a circle around your mother and say, danger zone. We don't cross this line. That's all. You just don't you fight with everybody but your mother or your father. You don't fight with fathers, you don't fight with mothers. Look, if you make that your policy in life, you will be blessed. I tell you, you will escape a lot of curses. Do you understand? Yeah, you shouldn't. You say, but my mother is this, my mother is that. But you are also some way, isn't it? And you are also planning to be a mother, even though you are not perfect. So your mother doesn't have to be perfect to be deserve your respect. In fact, anything that does not stop her from being your mother should not stop her from deserving your respect. So if your mother's imperfection didn't stop her from being your mother, then that imperfection must not stop her from deserving your respect. The respect is coming because she mothered you. Do you see what I'm saying? The respect is coming is not because she's been to school. It's not because she has a master's degree. It's not because she paid for this or that. That's not the reason. The reason is because she's your mother. Do you understand? So whether she has a car or not, whether she's richer than you or not, whether she has money or not, or all those things don't matter because none of those things stopped her from being your mother. What do you think? Yes. If I come to your house and I come and scrub your bathroom and clean your kitchen and everything, and then after that I'm demanding my payment, then you tell me that I don't own a car, so you can't pay me. Say, it's true I don't own a car, but I still came to clean your house. And the reason why I'm demanding payment is because I cleaned your house, not because I own a car. So you cannot bring now something that was not an issue, and you cannot make that now an issue and a condition for giving me what I deserve for what I've done for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's because of that Kevin over there. Hallelujah. So those of you who are fighting with your mothers, you see, you may be surprised that that's why things are not working out for you. Because heaven will back your mother. Do you understand? Heaven will back your mother, will stand behind your mother, will stand behind your father, and support him against you. So don't do that. Hallelujah. Draw a line around them and say, these people, you don't quarrel with them. You don't argue with them. Whatever they say, yes, mom. Yes, dad. Yes, mom. That's very easy. Amen. Amen. And it will be a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. If you are too busy to pray, then you are too busy. Hallelujah. Amen. What this means is that as a Christian, if you are too busy to pray, it means you have crossed the line for being too busy. Being too busy to pray is like being too busy to breathe. If you are too busy to breathe, then you have crossed the line. Is it not true? Uh-huh. If you say that, look, I'm so busy, too busy, that I cannot breathe. It means you've crossed the line. It means that you have gotten yourself so busy to a point that now it threatens your very existence. That's what it means. And prayer is like that. That if you have gotten yourself so engaged that you cannot pray, then now you are too engaged. Too much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Same thing with eating. There are people who have become so busy that they cannot eat. What about somebody who says, look, I'm so late that even though my tank is saying empty, I cannot buy gas. I'm so late that even though my car is about to stop, I cannot buy gas. You're about to be even more late. And you even now you will not even go at all. But that's how some people live their lives. Some people live their lives not realizing or appreciating their dependence on prayer. Do you see what I'm saying? And they think that they can run around. If you are in so much of a hurry that you cannot charge your phone, brother, you go. You will soon see that your phone is going to blank out on you. So there are some things that we must do no matter how busy you are. You need to find time to do it. And one of them is prayer. Do you see? So in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open 3 times a day, prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, you know, let me read Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1 with you so you can understand the background to this. Okay. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. That means there was a king who decided that I'm going to divide the whole country into 120 provinces. Okay. And then over each province, he was going to set a prince. So there were going to be 120 provinces with 120 leaders. Then over these 3 presidents, over the 120, he was going to have 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first. So what he did was that he divided the place into 120. Then the 120, he placed them under 3 people. Do you get it? So each one will probably have 40 provinces to look after. Then Daniel, out of the 3, he was the chief of the 3. So when the 3 presidents met, Daniel was the chairman of that 3-man committee. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it means that Daniel was supervising his 40
plus the work of the other two who were also supervising 40 each. Do you understand? Right. So that it says that the princes might give accounts unto them and the king should have no damage. Hallelujah. Yeah, the king delegated the whole thing so that the country would work well. Hallelujah. Now, then verse 3. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So now look at what's going on. The Bible says this Daniel was preferred by the king. Do you see? Because every leader, every manager, every supervisor, every boss has a right of preference. He has a right. All of you can meet the requirements. All of you can have the same qualifications. But he has a right to prefer one person to another. And what makes him choose one person over another is what the Bible calls a spirit of excellence. Excellence in a person's spirit goes beyond what they studied in school. Do you understand? When you have a spirit of excellence about you, it will take you places that your certificate cannot take you. Everybody can go somewhere or go a certain distance with their certificate. But there is a point beyond which it's not by certificate. Do you understand? There's a point beyond which you don't go by. There is no certificate that you can present to make the king say you are the first of the three princes. The certificate brings you perhaps up to the level of becoming a prince. But now to become the king's favorite prince is not by certificate. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some of us who have not gone far in our jobs or have not risen up much because we have a bad attitude at work. Do you understand? Yes, you're qualified to be on the job and you've been hired, but that is as far as you will go. Do you understand? Because you don't have a spirit of excellence about you. You don't do things well. Do you see? You work. Some people like to do the least work for the most pay. Yeah. The minimum work that I need to do to keep this job is what I'm going to do. Yeah. So you arrive at the work. They say that the work starts at 8. Even if you get there 10 to 8, you stay in the car. Because you don't want to give 10 extra minutes. Because to you, you think it's a waste of time. Do you understand? You think they are getting something that they are not going to be paid for. But you see, it is these little extras that make someone a preferred person. It is these little things that a person goes out of their way to do. Stay on a little longer, do a little more, do a little extra, you know, do a little extra. Because a job is nothing but something you are doing for someone. It's a help you are giving to someone. Do you understand? And everyone appreciates someone who is helping them from their heart, not someone who is helping them for the money. Do you understand? If you make money your target, you become poor. Yes, you become poor. You never have anything beyond what you deserve. But in life, you need a bit more than what you deserve. It's called grace. Do you understand? You need a bit more than what you deserve. You need someone to say, you know, you deserve this, but I'll give you that. You need someone to cut you some slack. You need someone to say, look, it's all right, you can have the day off when you don't deserve it. You need someone to say, it's all right, you don't have to come in today. Just do what I need you to do from home, and that's okay. You know, that's how to have a comfortable life. You get it? But if you live with your bosses by the meter, they are also going to live with you by the meter. And you find out in the end it's the employee who loses. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the Bible says this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, inside him, the way he was. That's what made him the preferred person. Not because he had a master's degree and the others didn't. Do you understand? And the king was now planning and thinking to set him over the whole realm. May your boss have thoughts about you. How to promote you and how to find ways to lift you up. I tell you, every boss has some power. Every boss has a little power. Yeah, every boss has something he can do for you, because every boss is given a little room to maneuver. Every boss has a little prerogative, and he can decide that you get to do this, and your boss can decide he will schedule you to work every Sunday, you alone. Every single Sunday you'll be working. But your boss can also maneuver and take you off. He'll give you off every Sunday. You don't work Sundays. Yeah. Hallelujah. And Daniel had that kind of favor, and the king was planning good things for him. Verse 4. So in verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Do you get it? Because now they were jealous. Do you understand? And they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Okay? So, verse 5. The presidents then said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He said, the only way you can set a trap for Daniel is to set the trap along something that has to do with his relationship with God. So the thing that is constant about Daniel is his relationship with God. I wish your friends will be able to say that about you. That the one sure place you are sure to find this person is Sunday morning at this place. That if you're looking for them, you can never even predict if you'll find them in the apartment. But you know, there's a place called so-and-so, the church over there down that road. If you go to that place on Sunday morning, you get there at 10, you'll see her there. Hallelujah. So these people said, you know, the only way we can trap Daniel is to make something to do with his God. So verse 6. Then the presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and they said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. You see? And then verse 7. They said, all the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So, the next verse. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Do you understand? The people had come up with this law, and they said the law is that for the next 30 days, nobody should ask any petition of any god except the king. You know, and they knew that that would please the king, because human beings like to feel big. And so they said, we've discussed this in parliament. All of us have agreed that this should be the law of the land for the next 30 days. So what we need is you, the king, sign it into a law. Just put your signature to it, you know, and let it be something that cannot be changed. So in verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore Darius signed the writing and the decree. Then comes verse 10, which is the verse that opens the book. And the verse says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel was aware that the writing had been signed into law. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Aforetime means before. Do you understand? So just as he did, that means before this became a law, Daniel used to pray 3 times a day. Now, after it became a law, Daniel decided that, I know that there is a law against people praying 3 times a day, but I cannot allow such a law to come between me and my prayer. Yeah. So the Bible says he knew it. And he knew the law. The law said if you pray to anybody else, do you understand? You will go into a den of lions. And Daniel was aware of it. And Daniel said, well, as for me, I cannot live without prayer. So then I'll pray. And you take me to the den of lions. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel must have been thinking a certain way. Daniel must have had a certain understanding about the importance of prayer. Do you understand? Daniel must have been thinking a certain way about prayer that made him, in spite of knowing that the writing was signed into law, still decide to pray three times a day as he did before that. And it is those principles that you find in chapter 1. Are you getting it? Now, very quickly, what are those principles? Number one, Daniel must have thought, principle number one, that prayer is very important. Hallelujah. Do you not agree that Daniel must have thought that prayer is very important? Daniel must have felt that, you know, prayer is one of the important things. Hallelujah. That prayer is a very important thing. You know, and Bishop says here that someone once said, it is more important to know how to pray than to have a degree from the university. Because prayer will bring more into your life than your university degree will ever bring to you. Yeah. I mean, some of you have been to university and you have finished university. I mean, you already know what it has brought or has not brought. In fact, you are trying to go and study a different course altogether. Sometimes you go to school and you finish the school and the school brings nothing. Only a certificate that you can't do much with. So you start hunting around and start looking for another school to go to. Is it not true what I'm sharing with you? It is the truth. You can't find a job. A long time ago, I used to live in London. And then I had a friend. We were working. Well, I was a student and we were on vacation. I had gone to London to work. And I was working in a laundry. We're ironing clothes. As we were ironing the clothes, I had a friend. There was a guy who was working, you know, and he was from Somalia. And so he was just working with me, and then he was always complaining about the job. I mean, he couldn't wait for his break time. I mean, when it's break, he'll be off. I mean, he would drop the sheet. You know, we used to feed the sheets to a certain machine. The machine will iron and fold it, you know. And as we'll be loading the thing, the clock will go 12. Then he would literally drop the sheet right there. He wouldn't like finish it. No, he would drop it and say he's going on break. So he would go. And then he would be complaining all the time. One day he told me he can't find a better job. He said he's tried. He wants to get out of this job, but he can't find one. He said he has a university degree, but he cannot get any job. So at a point I got curious and I asked him, so what degree do you have? And from where? Then he said that he has a degree in history and Arabic from University of Somalia. You see, even you are laughing. I felt like laughing, but I thought he'd be offended. So I just told myself, Now you have come to London with your history and Arabic major. And you are trying to bring it to London to come and work. As what? It's not going to work. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not every degree brings a job. That is the truth. Hallelujah. And so Daniel, he felt that, look, prayer is an important part of life. And he decided that I am going to pray not once or twice, but three times a day I'm going to pray. then now things had changed, that now he was praying at the risk of losing his life. And he said, well, I'm sorry that it has to be that way, but I can't help it. Prayer is important, and so I cannot stop praying. Are you getting it? Principle number two is that Daniel must have thought that no one is ever too busy, too blessed, or too successful to pray. Are you getting it? Daniel must have felt that there is nobody who is too busy or too successful or too blessed to need to pray. I mean, think about it. That's the reason why I took my time to go to the beginning of the chapter, for you to understand who Daniel was. Now, does Daniel sound to you like someone who was broke? Does Daniel sound to you like someone who was needy? Does Daniel sound... Look at the house he lives in. He lives in a house, do you understand? And his windows being open in his chamber, that means the house was big enough for him to have a study. Do you understand? And he had, you know, he said his chamber, he had windows that was open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. Probably Daniel had a house with skylights, where he had one window that opened to allow natural light into the house. Yeah. A lot of us, in our house, there's no chamber. I mean, there's nowhere else to go. When you enter the first place, that's where, that's it. There's nowhere else to go. But here is somebody who doesn't have that kind of house. He's not living in a tight space. Me, as a pastor, I've visited many of my church members, and I've come into sometimes very tight spaces. Hey, there's even nowhere to sit. And sometimes people don't even want you to come to their house because they are even embarrassed about where they live. Do you understand? But don't be embarrassed about where you live. That's where you live. Praise the Lord. Pray to the Lord that God will help you and God will improve it. Amen. But I've seen very, very tight spaces. I know people who rent a room in an apartment. Then the room that they rent is also shared. What I mean is they rent the room with someone. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a two-bedroom apartment. Then two people are sharing one room, one room. Then she takes her room and she also rents with this one. She shares, okay, with that one. All right. She doesn't want to rent a room with you at all. Do you understand? So she's sharing with this one. Then she decides that she works nights. Do you understand? So now her spot in the room, she wants to rent it now to a third person. So this guy is still coming in. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that when she's at work at night, this one is going to come and sleep in the room with this one. Do you get it? Because she says that she comes during the day when both of them have gone to work. So this one can have the bed at night, and then she can have the bed during the day. So the rent, let's say, is 800 for the apartment. They split 400, 400 over here. Then she comes with the 400 and splits 200, 200 over here. All right. Then her 200, she splits 100, 100 over here. Yeah. So the thing has reduced from 800 and it has come to 100. Yeah. But I can understand. I mean, if you haven't hustled before, if you haven't struggled in life before, you don't know what people have to go through sometimes just to survive, sometimes just to get through school. That's why you shouldn't judge people too quickly sometimes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because sometimes people are really, really, really in very difficult situations. Hallelujah. You must rather pray for them that God will take them out. Do you understand? Because sometimes as people get into these complicated situations, they have further implications.
you see that the person who started as a roommate has now become a husband. You get it? The person originally, you never chose him for a husband or never chose her for a wife. Do you get it? But circumstantially, you have been married. The circumstances have married you. Hey, it's not easy. Yeah, the circumstances have made you something, and sometimes you don't even know what it is. And it's even difficult for you to call him your husband or your wife because you didn't choose him or her. He or she just happened to you. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So don't judge people too quickly. But what I'm trying to get at is that Daniel was not in any of these type of situations. Do you see? And he still found a need to pray 3 times a day. So you who is in such a situation, how come you don't find a need to pray? Daniel was not broke. If you know anything about politicians, you understand that politicians are not broke people. No. There's a reason why somebody will campaign and walk on the street going from door to door asking people to vote for him. They know what they get out of it. And if you come especially from Africa, you know that African politician, he's not a broke man at all. There is no broke African politician. Hey! There's nothing like that. So these people are well looked after. Then this Daniel, you say you are too busy. Think about Daniel. He has 40 provinces to look after. Then he has to supervise the work of the other 2 princes. Do you understand? And now the king is even thinking about putting him in charge of the whole country. Talk about someone who is busy. People who run for public office are very busy. I mean, the president of the United States is a very busy man. He is a very busy man. I mean, you have to take calls round the clock. I think about myself. Me, I'm just a pastor over a few members. And sometimes I just wonder, I mean, the number of text messages I have to deal with, the number of phone calls I have to deal with. You know, recently when it was my birthday, you know, somebody said to me that I sent you a text message. The person said, I sent you a birthday greeting. And you haven't responded. Then I said, it's likely to be true, but I haven't seen it. You see, now, since my birthday, which happened about, it's more than a week ago. It was 26th of November. That was about, nearly 2 weeks ago, isn't it? Every day I've been trying to read my text messages. Okay. How many, let me show you. How many do I have left? I want to show you. Just look at it. Look at, how many do I have left? Huh? I have 174 text messages left, unread messages. Do you see? And I'm trying to get through it. Every day I'm working through it. Yeah. So you see some of you who sent me a message, one of these days you see I'll send a reply. Yeah. And some of the people, when I send them a reply, they cannot connect it. It's like it's been so long that they cannot connect with why I'm sending them that message. Do you understand? But you see, people who work in such places are very busy. Do you get it? But Daniel still found time to pray 3 times every day, even though he was a very busy person. See, and God has put that in the Bible to show you that you don't have an excuse for being prayerless. Are you getting it? Number 2, that Daniel was trying to show us that it's not, you cannot be too successful. Some people feel that prayer is for needy people. Prayer is for people who are broke. It's for people who don't have a job. Many of us don't pray until we are in trouble. Many of us don't pray until we are being fired. Until we are going to an interview. Until they are threatening to lay people off at work. Yeah. They brought a notice around that they are going to be cutting the staff by 200. Yeah? And you yourself, you know that you are not one of the boss's favorites. So immediately you start to think that, hey, if they start to cut the staff, I'm gone. So then suddenly you take on prayer. And you start to pray 3 times a day.
We see you on the prayer line. We see you at the church prayer meetings. They say all night. Sometimes when you go for all night and you see someone praying fervently, you can stop the person and ask, sister, what's the matter? Because a lot of people do not pray fervently unless something is moving them. Yeah, you tried. You see someone pray. You can just go to the person and just tap, excuse me. Just ask, what's the matter? Yeah. And you'll be surprised that there is always a matter. Something is driving the person. But we want to get to the place where our prayers are not driven by what's going on in our lives. That our prayers are not because we are not successful. Our prayers are not because we are broke. Our prayers, praying is not just for struggling people. Prayer is not just for someone looking for a green card. No. Prayer is not just for green card. Because of your green card, you are fasting 40 days and 40 nights. So after the green card comes, then there's no need to fast anymore. Do you understand? Yeah? Or because your spouse is giving you problems, you have become very prayerful. Then when he becomes a good person, no more reason to pray. Hallelujah. So Daniel felt that nobody is too blessed to pray. Hallelujah. Number three, prayer is the source of our power and protection. Isn't it? Daniel must have felt that prayer is the source of our power. And it is a source of our protection. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody needs protection. Amen. Yeah. If you come from Africa, you know that the higher people go, the more they start to need protection. Amen. And they start to look for protection. Amen. Hey! So some people have also seen, you see, businesses are created by demand. You get it? When people see that there's a demand for something, then they also see an opportunity to do a business. So you see, they have a whole lot of people who specialize in giving protection to people. Yeah, spiritual protection. Yeah. And you see, he'll design his hat because it must look strange and weird for you to believe that it has something to do with the spirit world. Yeah. So the person will make a little hut somewhere, put a stone somewhere, another stone somewhere. He'll put some chalk over here, another chalk over here. And then he'll be bare-chested and then he'll come. Yeah, you see, you will be scared. It inspires a lot of faith. Yeah. Then he'll come to you and says, bring 2 chicken. You get it? You need to bring 3 dozen eggs. Meanwhile, he's just naming his breakfast. You get it? It's just listing the menu. Yeah? He needs 3 dozen eggs. Then you need to bring 2 white chicken. Then you need to bring 1 black one, which is the firstborn. Do you understand? Then he says you need to bring a goat. Black goat. Yeah. And then he'll remember that his wife also needs a cloth. He says you need to bring white cloth. Yeah. Because he just remembers that his bed sheet is worn out. He needs to replace the bed. She says, you need to bring 1 white cloth. And then you need to bring it. Then to make it look mysterious, he says, you must bring it in the night. Yes. At midnight. He says, when you are coming, take off your shoes. Over there.
you remove your shoes. Then sometimes they even say, take off your clothes. Yeah. They say, walk around your house at night naked. Yes, you see big pot-bellied men walking around their house in the night looking for protection. Yes. And it is because, you see, it's not arising out of nothing. Because it's real. You notice how as soon as Daniel was promoted, suddenly the people who were working around him decided to conspire against him. It's not a joke. So these big men don't go to these people and go to these places for nothing. Sometimes you see the seat that you are sitting on, the jealous eyes that have gone to it. Yeah. And so people work, and depending on where it is, some people take it even in the spiritual realm. Do you understand? Others fight you physically. Others lobby around you. They talk to the bosses about you. They say things. They set traps for you to fail. Sometimes they put, one brother was telling me, he said that they put him to work on a machine that everybody knows he's not been trained to work on it. And when he went to the job, that's the work they gave him to do. So that he will fail. And when he started, he said he started to fail miserably. And then the person who put him on the machine went to tell the boss that, who is this useless person you have brought here? He cannot do anything. He claims he can work this machine. Meanwhile, this brother has never claimed that he could work this machine. But he told the boss, the guy said he can work this machine. You put him on it, the whole day he can't do anything. Because somebody just wanted him fired. Yeah. The person was there. You know, when you are the only person who can do something in the place, your value goes up. Because then your importance also goes up. Then it allows you to bluff. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You can. That's why many wives bluff their husbands, Christian wives. Because they know that their husband is under padlock and key. You can't do anything. Yeah. Yeah. So she said today, you know, did you hear about the wife who had a wheel of fortune in her house? Yeah. Yeah, a certain wife, when she has to go sleep with her husband, have sex with her husband, instead of, she would tell the husband, she put a wheel in her house, like Wheel of Fortune. She put it in the house, then she marked one small space, sex. And then everywhere is no sex, no sex. Now, when the husband comes home, and the husband wants to be intimate with his wife, then she tells him, go and spin the thing. And the guy will go, and then he will spin the thing. And the thing will just go around, go around, go around, go around, and says, no sex. That's it. You are done for. Then on his birthday, his birthday present is he gets to spin it twice. So you try the first one and it doesn't work. Then you try the second time. If it doesn't work, too bad for you. Yeah. Because she knows that her husband, he fears God. And even if she doesn't give it to him, he's not likely to go get it from anywhere else. Yeah. So this person was at the workplace and he knew that once they trained this guy to do the thing, then his powers at the workplace reduced. So when the guy came to join him, he set a trap for him to fail. And the guy was nearly fired. He was just nearly fired. Until he went to talk to the boss and told him that, look, I have never made a claim to be able to work this machine. I don't know how to do this. Nobody has ever taught me to do this. Then the boss understood what was going on. And now he delivered him out of that situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? So prayer is a source of our protection. Some of you come, you live here, you're afraid of witches and so on in Africa. You get it? And I don't blame you because a witch is a real thing. The only thing is that they don't have power over you. Do you understand? But the power they don't have over you is because of the protection you have.
So if you do not activate the protection, then that's what that one, the power will work against you. If it's raining outside and I give you a raincoat, my intention is that I can still send you outside. I say, go outside. And I know that I can confidently send you outside because I've given you a raincoat. But now if you don't wear the raincoat, that doesn't have anything to do with me. So God has given us protection against principalities and powers and spirits and so on that come sometimes from our families. Some of them wicked people. The devil inspires people to be wicked, to destroy sometimes long lines, a family line. Every male in the family has been destroyed. And God gives you protection against such a thing. But the protection he has given you, you will not put it on. From that point on, it doesn't depend on God. It depends on you. So Daniel knew it. Daniel understood. It is no wonder when this whole episode is over, you can read it when you go home. Daniel rather becomes promoted. The thing that was supposed to kill him rather ended up lifting him up. And I'm not surprised because it is Daniel didn't start his prayer when this thing happened. The Bible says, as he did aforetime. So before even these people thought up this plan, Daniel already had prayer in place. You see, that checked it. That is why it was not going to work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Daniel knew that prayer is the source of a person's protection, is the source of a person's power. Hallelujah. Sometimes the reason why we react wrongly to even negative situations, you wake up, you go to work, and then some unexpected situation just comes your way, and you don't respond properly. It's because your power is not on. Do you understand? It's not on. You see, when someone has their cell phone off, you can dial their number, but they just can't respond because the power is off. And if you keep running your cell phone and running your cell phone and run without ever returning it to the charger, everybody who buys a cell phone, the next thing you look for is how to charge it. Because all the features of the phone depend on the charge. Everything your cell phone can do, cell phones are great. They can do fantastic things, but they all need a charger. They all need a charger. Every cell phone needs a charger. Everybody who is powerful, listen, every powerful person, anything that even generates power, needs to be powered itself to generate the power. That is why generators which generate power need fuel. Because the power itself needs to be connected to power. So you may be powerful, you may be strong, you may be doing well, but you are not exempt from needing power. Do you understand? Because without you being connected to power, you will not have the power to be whatever you are to other people. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? That is how it is. And prayer is the source of that power. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to take time. You need to turn off the television. You need to sit up in your room, not lie in the same warm bed. The same thing that cuddled you and put you to sleep, how can it wake you up to pray? Yeah, some of you, the reason why you don't pray is how you pray. Is you wake up and you say you are praying in the same spot where you have been sleeping. Do you understand? Yeah, your sheets and the bed and everything have been programmed to comfort you. You get it? So you get up and then you cover and then you say your role has changed. Make me pray now. No, it's not going to work. You have to get up from your bed. Sometimes walk across the room to another place. Sometimes go to the living room. Even sometimes step outside. Yeah, go to a different place. Jesus did that all the time. The Bible says he went up to a mountain to pray. The Bible says he went to a solitary place to pray. He always got up from one place and then went to a different place to pray. Because sometimes the process of even moving to the different place makes you wake up enough to pray. If you understand that your life depends on it, you want to do it properly. if you understand that your phone's life depends on the charger, you don't just partially just stick it into the wall like that. You see? It's in. Can you see? It's in. But there's no life. Because it's not in it properly. Do you understand? And sometimes the reason why it's not working is because you're not praying properly. You are not, you say that you are trying to charge the thing, but the thing needs to go in properly. It needs to be effective. That's why the Bible says it is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. That's the prayer that does something. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So you need a charge. Do you not charge your cell phones every day? Yes. All this, your screen is on all day. It's taking energy. Something is leaving the phone. Do you understand? As you keep the screen texting, responding to matters, responding to issues, sending photos, taking photographs, all of that is not free. Something is going out of this phone. It's called virtue. It leaves people. As you go through life, as you're encountering people, as people are annoying you, as you're having to respond, even to encourage other people and do all those things to deal with difficult situations, something is leaving you. That something needs to come back for you to be the same kind of person the next day. Do you see what I'm saying? If that something doesn't come back, you start the day on low. Very soon you start to flash. Do you understand? Sometimes the reason why you fight with people is because you are flashing. Yeah. Because you are flashing. The power is drained. You don't have any more energy to tolerate anything. Yeah. So you see some people, they are trying to work their marriage on a flashing battery. And you ruin your marriage that way. Have you tried to send a text and ask in the middle of the text, the thing went off? That's what it is. You are responding to a situation with a battery that's not charged. And so halfway down the line, you mess up. Is the message making sense? Are we reading a good book? Yes. That prayer is the source of power and protection. Number four, it says prayer is important in acquiring and sustaining the blessings of God. Hallelujah. That prayer is what? Important in acquiring and doing what? And sustaining the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Prayer is what brings blessing into your life. If you want to acquire the blessings of God, you need to learn how to pray. The Bible says we do not have because we don't ask. So if you want to have the blessings of God, you must learn how to pray. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 27. The Bible says a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Isn't it? John, not Jonah. John chapter 3 and verse 27. John chapter 3. And verse 27. It says, a man, let's read it together. Everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So that means if you know how to talk to heaven, you are probably going to receive a lot of things. Don't you think so? Yes. Because all good things have their source in heaven. If you have connections in heaven, if you know how to talk to heaven, you can release a lot of things from heaven into your life. You can release customers from heaven into your life. Even we as a church, if we are going to rise up and pray more, we can release souls into the church. Because you can receive nothing unless heaven releases it to you. Do you understand? Then once you get whatever you have, because, you know, when you have something, the next important thing is how to keep it. Is it not true? Yes.
So you see people who get worried. I'll never get married. I'll never get married. I'm worried. I'll never get married. Then they get married. You think the worry would go? No. It just changes to a new worry. Yes? When people have babies, where's Kevin and his mother? Oh, they're here. Okay, great. When people have babies, you know, the next thing is you see how they become protective. Yes, because now the next thing is not having a baby. The next thing is whether we can keep this baby. So some people feel that once you get it, there's no need to pray. But let me tell you something. Yesterday I was telling you that if you live by that motto, thing for you never lost, you'll be making a mistake, because you will be you will actually be setting aside a very important scripture which calls the devil a thief. If the devil is a thief, who is a thief? Who is a thief? Someone who takes things from you which belong to who? To you. And he takes them. That's what makes him a thief. If the devil is a thief, whose things do you think he's coming to steal? Yes. Whose things do you think he's coming to steal? You think about it. The devil is a thief. Whose things is he coming to steal? So you see, sometimes you don't have something, it's not because it was not given to you, but because it's been stolen from you. That's the reason why you don't have it. Yeah. And the devil, he steals. The Bible says, the thief cometh not. The thief, the devil, he cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to the. If there's nothing to steal, nothing to kill, nothing to destroy, he will not come. But you and I know he comes. So it means there are things to steal. Yes. The devil can steal even your joy. In fact, your joy is one of his most important targets. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Bible says you can't go into a strong man's house and steal his goods unless you first bind him. To bind a strong man means you have to overcome his strength. And the strength that he has is his joy. So to start to take anything from anybody, you enter the person's life and take away the thing that makes him joyful. That's the first target. Yeah. But you sit there and say, someone was just annoying you. But you don't understand that actually it is a plan to steal your joy. The devil understands that if you lose it, if you can lose the joy, your strength is gone. Then your goods are vulnerable. Everybody has goods in their lives. Everybody, goods just means good things. It just means useful things. And the devil will steal it one time if he has the chance. Yes. Sometimes the devil steals people's relationship. You'll be walking with somebody, you like him, he likes you, you like him, he likes you. The whole thing is working, it looks like it's leading somewhere, somehow. It just disappears. The feeling is gone. He says he doesn't feel the same way about you anymore. She says she doesn't feel the same way about you anymore. Something good that was just about to happen, suddenly, you don't know what happens to it. You just wonder, what even happened? Sometimes even over a small quarrel, a little later you go and think about the quarrel, you just even wonder, I mean, was this something that needed to separate us? And yet it did. Yeah. You can't even understand it. You can't even understand why did such a thing separate us? And yet it did. It did, because there was behind that thing, there was a thief that was coming to steal the thing that God had given to you. Yeah. So prayer is required for sustaining what God gives to us. It's not enough to have something. You now need to pray to keep it. Daniel knew that, look, I may be the prime minister, but that's not enough. If Daniel had not prayed, he would have lost it.
he would have lost it. Because there were people working against him to make him lose what God had given to him. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So don't take your blessings for granted. Don't take it for granted that you have good health. The devil would like to steal your health. He would like to steal it. Yes, he would like to steal it. He would like to entice you with things until you destroy yourself. He would like to steal it. He knows it's because you're healthy that you come to church, you be dancing, and you just be dancing, and you just be moving around, and then they just move. He knows it's because you are healthy, that's why you are doing all this. Yeah, let's find some sickness for her and she stop misbehaving like that in the church. You see, from that point on, when you come to church, they'll be dancing, you'll be sitting here. Yeah, everybody will be dancing, they'll be doing their thing. You have been eliminated. Yeah. He'll steal your health if he gets the chance. He'll steal it. Like to steal your children. Like to steal your husband's heart. Yes. Affection that was meant for you will go to somebody else. Yes. And it's not like he's doing it to help the other person. No. If you like, watch the end of the game. You see that it was not a help for the other person. If the devil steals something from someone and brings it to you, don't receive it. Because he's not trying to help you. He has taken something from someone and needs someone to hold it for him. That's why he has engaged you. So he gives it to you and you are also smiling. You think you've got something. But he's a thief. He's a thief. You can be sure that even what he gave to you, he'll come back and steal it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? That you need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. Stop accepting everything that comes your way. Stop living like that's the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. When you read 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, according as his divine power, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where is the verse? According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us from glory to and called us to glory and virtue. Think about it. The Bible says he has given us everything that pertains to life. Anything that has to do with life, God has already given it to us through the knowledge of him. That means as we are getting to know God more, we are supposed to be entering more and more of the things that pertain to life. Anything that has to do with life, which includes a car, a house, a place to stay, people to love you, children, whatever. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. So where is it? Somebody says it's in the Bible. It's in the pipeline. Yeah. The thief is the one who steals those kinds of things. Hallelujah. So you need to sit up and start praying. Hallelujah. That is why Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Daniel said, you know, this prayer, I cannot live without it. I don't care what law they make against it. I'm going to pray because prayer is what will bring blessing. Prayer is what will sustain the blessing. Yes, many of you, if your job was to change right now, your whole life will go down with it. Even the car you drive, you cannot continue to have it anymore. Yeah, because some of us, our salaries are very directly linked to our lives. We cannot even stay 2 days without a salary. If we lose our job today, we'll die by the weekend. The link is so direct. You get it? It's, yeah, they call it hand to mouth. Paycheck to paycheck. Uh-huh. as the paycheck is coming, the landlord is getting you. We might as well meet you at the workplace. Yeah. Sometimes there's even no need to take the money to the bank. You go from the, you say, give me cash. They pay you cash. Then you start walking to the place. You go to the water bill place, you pay. You go to the light place, you pay. You pay. Go to the cable place, you pay. You go to every place, you pay. Then when you look at what is left, there's no point in putting it in the bank. You just put it in your pocket. But I see you coming out of that place. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you understanding the word of God today? Yes. Prayer is necessary for acquiring and sustaining the blessings of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Then number five, prayer. For prayer to be effective, it has to be habitual. Do you see? Number six, prayer must continue both in troubled times and in times of peace. Isn't it? We don't pray only when we are in trouble. Isn't it? Yes. If you pray only when you are in trouble, when the trouble comes, you won't even know how to pray. Huh? You won't know how to pray. You won't know even what prayer to pray. Should you say, Our Father, which, or is it our mother who is in heaven? Who is in heaven? Hallowed be the, our Father who is in the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, there do I walk through the valley of the shadow. You will not be, you won't even know what prayer to pray. Because you have not learned the art of prayer. It doesn't come to you naturally. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why you need to practice some things so that in the day you need it, it flows. Do you get it? Yeah? See, sometimes there are some ladies, they don't serve their husbands well at home. So when they have a visitor, it's a problem. Yeah, you see that they are very nervous. The whole thing is spoiled because they are not used to their husband. They make the food in a big bowl and they point it to him. Say, it's over there. Yeah. You're even lucky that there's food in the house. You want me to bring it to you? Go over there. It's a big bowl. Then the husband will also go and take a big bowl and fetch some and come and sit there and is watching TV. And that's how the thing has been. Then suddenly, they say, Father-in-law is coming to visit. Yes. Then you start to get nervous and even angry that he's coming. Because you are too tense. It's not yours. You are not yourself because you don't practice that. So there are some things you just do for the habit. You do it for practice. Do you understand? Even when you are by yourself, you must stop eating from that big bowl. You get it? Yeah. Stop eating. You made soup and then... You get it? You have to stop eating from the pot. You get it? And learn how to serve yourself with some food and then sit down at the table and take your time and eat. Yeah. You get it? You have to practice because you know life will not be like this forever. As long as you are a child of God, as you remain in the church, a day of blessing is coming. There is a day of blessing and prosperity coming. Yeah. You will soon be attending company lunches and so on. Yeah. And you see the company, we are having a company lunch. And we bring you there as the supervisor. Then here you are. You are the food that is not in the pot. You cannot eat it. You want to ask the waiter to bring one of the pots from the kitchen because that's what you are used to. Yes. You have to learn to eat with cutlery. You have to stop dipping your fingers. It just look at your fingernails. Your fingernails black like that. You dip it inside the bowl and then you eat rice with it. You eat everything with your fingers. Why? And you know that you don't like washing your hands. You see. And when they say it, you say it's natural flavor. One of these days, you're going to introduce some virus into your body. And you wouldn't even know the day a virus enters your body, there is no announcement.
The only way you know it's there is when it's done what it came to do. When you start to feel different and you start to feel something inside, then they tell you that this thing has formed. There's a tumor here, or this has come over here. But you don't even know when it came, because you don't have the right habit. Look, one finger can introduce a lot of evil into your heart, and you have five of them. So there are some things you just do. You have to do it just to be familiar with it. Do you understand? Yes, it's true, you live by yourself, but serve yourself some food. You deserve it. And sit down properly and eat the food and take your time. Do you understand? Yeah. Get a glass, pour the water and drink it, and just add some juice. Do you get it? Just be happy and enjoy your labor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Sometimes you must invite people to your house just for the practice. Yes. You just say, yes. Because some of you, your food is not nice, but you don't know it. You see. You don't know it. Yeah. So you need to invite people to come. Sometimes you just come. I tried my hands on some type of soup today. I want you to come and try it. And then they come, and then you test, and then you just open yourself up to their comments. What do you think? Then they tell you. Because sometimes you discover it in the wrong place. You see, when people are eating your food temporarily, they endure it and go quietly. But when you marry someone who's coming to live with this permanently, you will see that, no. You said no. You will soon see something. When you ask him, when you married him, you say he used to like soup, but now he doesn't. Something has changed. Yes. He has made a vow, me, soup in this house, never again. Yeah. When you go out with him to other people's houses, you see he's eating the soup. Hey. You even tell the person, oh, my husband doesn't like soup. No, you see, then you pass the by, he's eating the soup. Hey. Not knowing that he's suffering in the house. Because you just haven't practiced it. That's how prayer is. When you don't practice prayer, you don't know how to pray when it matters most. I tell you, your child is on your hands. You're going to the emergency room. You don't know what prayer to pray. You're confused because it doesn't come to you naturally. Do you understand? So pray even for the practice. Hallelujah. Pray for the practice. Pray so that you can become familiar and good at praying. Say amen.
Amen.
Number 7. Every nation needs lots of prayer and prayerful leaders. Number 8. It is important to pray for long periods of time. Isn't it? Yes. Number 9. It is important to enter your closet for effective prayer. Isn't it? You must enter your closet for what? Enter your closet for effective prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How do you enter a closet? It means go to a private place. Isn't it? It says, Jesus said, when you want to pray, enter your closet. See, Matthew chapter 6 and I think verse 9. Quickly, please. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. We're just closing, please. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6. After this manner. Okay, what about before that? Verse 8. Be ye therefore, like not unto them, because your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. Okay? But thou, when thou prayest, can you see that? Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door. Do you get it? Now you tell me, what is a door for? What is the purpose of a door? To restrict access. Any place where we don't mind people going to at any time, there's no door there, like the street. Do you get it? There's no door in the streets because they don't mind people coming there at any time. Do you understand? So doors just refer to access. So Jesus said,
You know, when you want to pray, enter your closet and restrict access to you. Can you see that? Now, today's world, people don't access us through doors. Do you understand? The new way to access us is through your phone. Is it not true? So to shut your door means to shut off access to you, and for you it means to turn off your phone. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is what it means. If you're going to pray effectively, you have to stop texting. Do you understand? You can't be praying and every 2 minutes, "Oh, Johnny." Yeah. So, okay. Then you see, you are praying. Then Johnny will send you a joke. Johnny will send you a joke. And a picture. A funny one. then you laugh. You laugh. You laugh. And then you text LOL. And then you just be, then Johnny will send another one. You get it? You, if somebody was talking to you, and as they are talking to you, they are talking to somebody else. Would you take them seriously? Huh? Somebody has come to you, and the person is coming to tell you, they say the person wants a loan from you. You get it? The person has come to borrow money from you. And then as they are talking to you about what they need the money for, they are also talking to somebody else. They've come to say, "Please, I was asking that if you could lend me about $50. Hey, you know something? Just this weekend, the party, you know, I was talking about the loan. You know something? That's this weekend. If you met a beggar at the street, at the stoplight, do you have that here? Beggar at the stoplight, and they come and they hold their pants to you. Can you imagine they were holding their palms to you and then they are talking with somebody else? Or the guy even has the palm. He's on the phone. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to come around. Don't worry. I'll be there. By the time he finishes, you would have driven off. Yeah, and he will look in his bowl and he will find there's nothing. Because you know something? No one owes anybody in the street anything. No one owes you an answered prayer. So if you're going to come to him and pray and you won't pay attention and be serious with the thing, it will affect the effectiveness of your prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know what? Our time is up. Let's close and we'll come next time. Hallelujah.
What? Number nine?
Number nine is what? Long prayer, effective prayer. Number 10, everyone must develop the ability and formula for praying four times a day. What are the four times? Morning, afternoon, evening, and all the time. That is it. We finished. Number 10. All right. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Just bow your heads, everybody. We are just closing the service today. We're just closing the church. I want you to pray for 2 moments about your prayer life and say, "Lord, I want to be prayerful." Everybody just talk to God and say, "Lord, I want to be one of those who pray. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Daniel. Please help me in the name of Jesus. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be someone who prays 3 times, 4 times. I want to be someone who prays all the time. Because prayer is important. Prayer is important. You must form a habit out of praying. You must pray regularly, pray frequently, pray all the time. In the morning, in the afternoon, right in the middle of your day, in the evening, you can pray. You can spend a few minutes in prayer before you go to bed. You can take your lunch break and instead of chatting around and texting and doing all kinds of things, you could sit in your car and pray for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. What a difference it will make to your life. Just sitting in your car for 20 minutes, praying in tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost. you may touch some very important things and shift some things in your life. I want you to decide that I'm going to be a prayerful Christian by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing, in Jesus' name. Now, just before we close, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, I've not been serious with my walk with God, and I want to be serious from today, I want to pray for you. Just raise up your right hand right where you are, and I'm going to pray for you. Just say, I want to be serious with my walk with God. Just raise up your right hand. I'm going to pray for you. I've not been a serious Christian like I should be, but I want to do that from today. I have had one foot in church, one foot in the world. I'm half here, half there, but I want to be serious from today, in the name of Jesus. Now, lift up that hand. Just keep it up if you're that person, and I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for all these hands that have gone up, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will help them. They want to be serious. They want to be true Christians. They want to be true children of God. They want to walk with you properly. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will be merciful unto them and grant them this request in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, that you remove all the obstacles, the things that stand in their way, the things that make it hard for them to live the Christian life and to be good Christians here in Oklahoma City. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them, be merciful unto them. Forgive their sins, Lord. Those who continue to walk in sin, O God, who struggle with sin, O God, I pray that you will forgive them. Let your blood wash them. Let your blood cleanse them. I pray that the washing of water by the word, the preaching in the church, will affect them, O God, affect their lives in the name of Jesus, and help them. Help them, O God. Help them, O God, help them, because they love you. They want to be with you. They want to be children of God. They want to be Christians, Lord. I pray that you will help them. Grant them the help of the Holy Spirit to be real Christians in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. You can put your hand down. And then finally, while every eye is still closed, I want to pray for you, if you're here today and you're saying, I need Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want Him to forgive my sins, and I want to be a child of God. I want to be sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. That if I should die today, I will go straight to heaven. I want to be sure about that. If you're here and that is your prayer, raise up your right hand. I will also pray for you. God bless you. Just keep your hand up. Anybody else, just keep your hand up and I'll pray for you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, Jesus, I recognize that I do not know you. My sins are not forgiven and I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be sure that if I die today, I will go to heaven. Just lift up your right hand. This is nothing to be ashamed of. If you want to go to heaven, it's not an embarrassment. You must raise up your right hand boldly and say, I want to do this, Lord. I want to give my life to you in the name of Jesus. You know, do me one more favor. Meet me right here in the aisle. I'm going to pray for you. I'm walking towards you. Just meet me right here and I'm going to pray for you. Just take a step and just come right here. We're going to pray together and just say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be sure that I will go to heaven if I die today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Now, I want you to join me in this prayer. And everybody else, join us. Just say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, only you can forgive my sins. Only your blood can save me from my sins. So let your blood wash me, Say, oh Jesus, let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Let me live for you, Lord. I want to be a child of God. Say, devil, you are no longer my master. I refuse to serve you. Jesus is my Lord. From today, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my master. He is Lord over this life. Say, thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these ones who have honestly and sincerely stepped out to say, Lord, I need you. I want to be sure that my place in heaven is secure. I pray for them, Lord, that you will bless them. Bless them with the grace to live like Christians, to walk like children of God. Bless them with interest in your word and interest in prayer. Give them a grace to wake up in the morning and be drawn to the Bible, be drawn to prayer, be drawn to church, be drawn to the things of God in the name of Jesus. I pray for your blessing over their lives and over all that their hands set themselves to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the service this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Amen.